Steve Palmer here, another episode of Lawyer Talk Q&A, and today I'm going to take a question that I received, and basically the question is this: am I allowed to show up and watch trials or watch my I'm changing the names to protect the innocent. I'm not going to mention the names, but this questioner wants to go to trial and watch a loved one's criminal case, jury trial. And this is part and parcel with questions I get a lot from clients, from family, from everybody who has an, and maybe even people just have a public interest. Can you go to court and watch? And I'm gonna focus on criminal trials because that's what I do, and I think there's you'll catch on why, because there's some constitutional backing to it. But the answer, in short, is yes. And what I often tell people is, look, you're paying for it. And they look at me sort of strange. I'm like, listen, you pay the judge's salary with your tax dollars, and maybe not if you live in a different community or a different county or a different state, but you get it. Your tax dollars up, or the government uses your tax dollars to maintain the courthouse, to pay for the security, to do all these things. So yes, you can go to court. We pay for it. In fact, anybody who remembers, like, I love old movies. You probably caught on if you pay attention to my series. Like go back and think in your head, like, old black and white movies, and the one that comes to mind is To Kill a Mockingbird. And, you know, there's, if you've read the book, it talks about the kids sneaking into, I think that's To Kill a Mockingbird. It talks about kids sneaking in to watch the trial, and it's like standing room only. They got the balconies above and these old courthouses in the town square. I mean, it used to be the drama before we had TV and radio and et cetera. That was the drama. That was like going to a play. And so it was a very open and public forum, and people would be shoulder to shoulder pushing to get in on some of these big, high publicity cases. But it's not without constitutional grounding. I'm going to read to you this, I don't know, this little, some people call it a technicality, but we'll read it anyway. The Sixth Amendment, it says, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. That's loaded, folks, with rights. But I'm going to stop at the first sentence. Shall enjoy the right to speedy and public trial. What this means is the court can't simply, on its own, for no good reason, shut down the close the doors of the courthouse and not let people in. And in fact, this sometimes becomes the basis for appeals. If a client or a defendant is stuck in court and the judge closes the door for no good reason and doesn't let anybody in, it can be a violation of this right. And there's a whole body of law on it I'm not going to go into. But it is important. And I think it's probably interesting. Why it's important, I think, is worthy of some consideration. Secrets, what happens in the dark tends to fester in a really negative way. In other words, we like our justice on Front Street. And if our justice is on Front Street, then everybody can see it. Everybody can hear it. And it helps us ensure by public observation, it exposes the process. And if it's not fair, then there's going to be this public, in theory, some public outcry about it. And a lot of these amendments, they were, as my buddy who used to be an electrician said, the electrical code is written in blood, and meaning the things that you have to do in the electric code are because somebody before had been hurt by not doing it. And, you know, you can imagine a scenario where the old King George would say, look, you can have a trial, but it's going to be this kangaroo court where we're going to lock everybody out and nobody gets to see it. But when you come out, you're going to be guilty in handcuffs and be hung in the public square. And everybody's like, well, how's that happen? It doesn't feel like it's fair. So a public trial is a very important thing. It doesn't mean it's without limits, though. You know, if there's sometimes judges will close courtrooms to protect the identity of certain witnesses. Just think like mafia hits, or if you've got something else going on where there's threats, the courtroom sometimes can be closed temporarily. I can't think of a scenario, though, where I've ever, not in my life, in my career, where a judge has ever completely closed a courtroom throughout the entire trial. The next question is, like, what about media? How do media get into a courtroom? So I'll conclude the first point first, though. Yes, you can go to court. You can watch your loved one's trial. You can show up and wait in the peanut gallery, and you can watch everything that happens. And there used to be, even if you're not interested in it, you can be interested in it. We used to have, when I started practicing in Franklin County, we called them court watchers, a group of great people, really sharp people who I think they were retired, and they just enjoyed watching trials. And they used to see them in the elevators every day, and they'd say, "You in trial?" I'd be like, "Next week." And they say, "Where?" And we tell them, and they would always show up and watch. They just liked it, and for good reason, right? They were old school, and it was interesting entertainment for them. And it's a lot more interesting and perhaps a lot more educational than YouTube. But if you're watching on YouTube, I'm not talking to you. Anyway, there are some exceptions, or let's talk about not the exceptions first, but let's talk about the medium. In federal court, often they don't let cameras in, and that's why you see the old courtroom sketch artists. So there'll be a sketch artist in the back, you know, drawing pictures of the witness and then doing like these pretty cool things. I've had a few made of me over the years, and I tried to order one time, and I lost communication with the artist. And I was never able to get it, but they have sketch artists. Most of the time, media can come into a trial in state court, at least here in Ohio and most other local state courts I've been in, with cameras, et cetera. The judges often will have some stipulations about that and some rules that they have to follow. Certainly, they can't be disruptive. But in the hearing I had a couple weeks ago, it wasn't quite a trial, but there was a media guy there, and it wasn't even what I'll call legacy media or big media. You know, it wasn't a TV station. It was a YouTube guy who had his own channel and just goes around and documents interesting hearings. And he filed a motion, a request formally, asking the judge for permission for an order allowing him to set up a camera and monitor the hearing. And the judge granted it. And I think the judge had to grant it by law. There are some stipulations that go with it, though. Like the judge probably would not allow any video of, say, a child witness. Or if there's a protected witness, they may shut off the cameras for that. Sometimes I've had a few hearings and trials in my career where every single media outlet, even those out of state, national, want to be there with cameras. And the court said, look, I'm going to allow three of you, meaning media outlets, to have cameras. And the rest of you figure out how to share it, because we're not going to have 15 cameras in my courtroom. There's just not room. It's unwieldy. And it gets simulcast and everybody has to share the feed. OJ trial was probably that way. The big picture is, yes, you have a right to be there, and so does everybody else, including the media, and there's a good reason for it. A lot of times we don't like it because, you know, there's pressure, et cetera. But, the sunshine tends to air out all the bad stuff, and the more public and the more exposure the system has, I think you're going to expose the worst parts of the system and hopefully correct them. You know, the sunshine disinfects. And I think that's the purpose behind it. So hope that answers the question of the individual who sent the question, but also everybody else's question. And by the way, it's intimidating. You go to court and you got to walk through metal detectors and you don't know where you're going and you're asking people. Plow through it. It's a blast, man. Go check out what's going on in a courtroom, even if it's just like we call them disposition days or dispo days or a sentencing day. Go check it out and just watch. Watch how the system that you're paying for works, because you know, you might be surprised at how inefficient it is at times. You might be surprised at how efficient it is at times. But I guarantee you'll learn something about what's going on underneath. And all too often I have clients say, look, I never knew what it was like to be accused of something until my son had to go through this. And it just doesn't seem fair at all. So some people are surprised in a way that maybe they have a little more empathy and sympathy for those who get accused of crimes. Others, maybe the opposite. But look, surprise yourself in any way you can. Go to court, check it out, watch it, and of course, keep listening to Lawyer Talk Podcast, where we are off the record, on the air, until now. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.